All right. So for this morning, we have it's a transition time of year with all the grads and people graduating into high school and from grade 12 and summer starting, but knowing that after summer, many of these kids who have graduated grade 12 will be moving on to universities and all kinds of different things. And in these times that we live in right now with media, social media, TV, movies, the news, you name it, there's all these different ways that information is being thrown at each one of us, especially kids high school age, graduating age, starting university age, and even younger. It's everywhere. All it takes nowadays is a couple taps on our phone, and we can have whatever information we want. You want to find something out, a couple taps on your phone, and you can find out information about that topic, any topic that we want. The news will tell us about any and every topic, and nowadays you'll find that everyone is an expert at everything. That seems to be the way it is. And so with all of this information, it's really easy to lose who we are. It's easy for these kids transitioning into high school and into universities and all of these sorts of things to lose who they are because of who social media would tell them they are or the news would tell them that they are. So with all of these transitions, and maybe you're not in school, maybe your school days have long passed or it's been a few years, but maybe you're newly married. Maybe you're a new parent, you're newly retired, you have new employment. There's always new in our lives. There's always a new season in our lives that we'll find ourselves in. So whatever it is, whether it's just simply a new season, whether you're a new graduate or a graduate, the question that I have for you this morning is, who will you follow in your new season? Who will you follow in your new season? We're going to be this morning in Romans chapter 12. If you have your Bibles or your phones and you'd like to turn there, Romans chapter 12, and this message is entitled Follower with a Question Mark. Because many times these days people will say, I follow no one. I don't follow any. I'm my own person. I do my own thing. I run my own race, or something like that, or some version of that you'll hear a lot of times these days. But the reality of this life is that we are all followers, like it or not. You can be as tough as you want to be. You can say you march to the beat of your own drum all you want to say, but the reality is we all follow someone or something. That's just the way it works. Those views that we have, that we claim as our own, well, they came from somewhere. They came and were influenced by someone or something. That the values that we have and that we hold on to, the reason that we'll do something or won't do something, that was influenced by someone or something. We all follow someone or something. We didn't just make it up on our own. Ecclesiastes in the Bible, the book, tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. We didn't just invent the views and the values and the opinions that we have. There's nothing new under the sun. We are all influenced and molded and follow someone or something. So the question is, in your season, if it's a new season or it's an extended season, who will you follow in this season? So Romans chapter 12, I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Romans chapter 12, starting verse 1, reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we declare that it is truth. We declare, Lord, that we will live by it and allow it to change us. Holy Spirit, I invite you this morning to minister to every one of our hearts, those here in person, those watching live. Lord, just invade our hearts and our minds and teach us this morning. I pray, Lord, that the words that come this morning are your words and your message for your people. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you do among us, here and in our homes, what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul starts off our text this morning with, I beseech you. And the New King James Version is, I beseech you. It means I urge you. He's saying, I'm trying to influence you in a decision. I'm trying to get you to make a decision or to do a certain thing. There's a weight to this word, I beseech you. He's not just saying, if you feel like it, if you care. There's a cry from Paul to the church as he writes this letter, because there's two realities at play in our lives. One, we establish, is that we all follow someone or something. And the second is that we all decide ourselves who or what that someone or something will be. So the reality is that we will all follow someone or something, but in that is that we decide who that someone or something is going to be, especially when we're in high school years or graduating years or new seasons of our life as we grow older. The choice becomes increasingly more and more ours who that someone or something will be. Paul can't force us to make the decision that he wants. Paul can't force us to go down the road he knows is God's road for us. He can't force us to do what he's saying, and I can't force you either. I can't force you to follow Jesus. As you guys enter into high school, I can't force you to make the decisions that are best for you to make. Mom and dad will try, and they will have rules, and they will have boundaries in place, but there are only certain things they can control, and certain times they're there to control it. The decisions are going to become yours. Who and what will influence you, and who and what will you follow? He can't make the decision for us, but Paul can urge us. He can beseech us. And I can urge you, and I can make a plea, but ultimately the decision is yours. But that we need to know that with that decision comes responsibility. As you get older, and as we all get older and move into different seasons and areas of our life, more and more the decisions we make become our own, but they come with more responsibility. Because the truth is that each of us, you and me, will answer to God. And not only will we answer to God, but when you answer to God, you will stand alone before him. You won't have mom or dad beside you. You won't have anyone beside you to blame your decisions on. They will be your own. Each of us will answer to God alone one day for the decisions that we made of who or what we chose to follow. We see throughout the Old Testament that they had animal sacrifices. There was a sacrifice for almost anything you can imagine. As you read through the Old Testament, there was different days and times and this and that and everything. There was sacrifices for all of it, forgiveness and peace and atonement and all kinds of things. And then Jesus became our sacrifice. He became our sacrifice on a cross once and for all. It is finished. So there's no more animal sacrifices needed, because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus was and is enough. But there's still one more sacrifice that we need to make. There's still one last thing that we have to give. Jesus has given his life to us as a free gift. There's no strings attached. There's no requirement other than that we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart and we're saved. But to be a follower of Jesus is what follows after our salvation. After we've made the decision of who are we going to follow and we make it Jesus, we're saved, but now we have to follow. That's kind of the hard part. Sometimes that decision is easy. Sometimes that first prayer is pretty easy. But now, when it comes daily life and it's time to follow, well, that's going to be a little different. Our text today says that we offer our lives a living sacrifice. There's no more sacrifices of animals. There's no more sacrifice for forgiveness of sins. Jesus accomplished that on the cross. But there is a sacrifice of offering our lives as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Essentially, we say to God, all that I am, all that I have and all that I do is yours, God. That is offering our lives a living sacrifice. All I am, all I have, and all I do is yours, God. And it sounds simple, and in reality it is simple. It sounds straightforward, and it is straightforward, but in reality it's very difficult. It's simple, but it's not easy. Because the issue is that our flesh, ourselves, our being without the Lord wants no part of that. Our flesh, our natural desires want no part of offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. The world around us hates every part of that. The enemy of our souls wants anything but that. So normally, naturally, left to our own devices, we want to follow celebrities. We want to follow the latest artist or singer. We want to follow the actor that we admire. Or for us who are maybe a little older and in business, we want to follow that CEO. We want to follow that business leader. We want to follow the celebrity pastor. We want to follow the coolest kid in school. That's who we want to follow. That's what our flesh wants. That's what the world tells us that we need to do to get what we want. That's what social media guides us to do so that we can be happy, so that we can be fulfilled. That's how we're told to find true happiness. And that's why Paul tells us how to really do it in verse 2. Because there's only one way. He says, do not be conformed to this world. Because he knows, he lives just like us. He was a man just like us. He wasn't God like Jesus was. He was just filled with the Holy Spirit like we are. Paul knows what the flesh wants. He knows how hard it is to follow in this world. So he says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not follow what the world would have you believe. Do not follow what everything on social media is telling you is the right way. Do not follow that kid at school just because he's the coolest. Do not follow that celebrity because they're an amazing actor. Don't follow that whoever because you admire them. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's the only way this following works. Do not be conformed to the world. That word conformed is another way to use that word is for a schematic, like a set of drawings. So if you're building a building or you have a subway system, you'll have a schematic of the building or the system, and it shows you the pattern. It shows you the plan. It shows you the mold of how it's put together. It's basically saying by being conformed, you're accommodating yourself to a model or a pattern. That's what to be conformed to something is you're giving yourself to a model or a pattern that's established. So the world, social media, news, the culture all around us, it has a model for us to follow. It has a model that it would love for you to follow. It has a pattern that we can shape our life around, that it would like us to shape our life around. So Paul is urging us. I am urging you this morning in your new season, do not conform to the world around you. Do not conform your life to the pattern or the schematic of the world, of social media, of the news, of celebrities. Do not conform your life to a pattern or mold that the world has for you. Instead, do as Paul urges and beseeches us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what does it mean to renew your mind? Well, that word renew actually means to renovate. It takes some change. It's an actual change. And that's where the hard part comes in, is we like it where we can say a prayer and we're Christians and we can come to church and then we can do what we want and live how we want because we've said a prayer and we come to church on Sunday. But that's not being transformed by the renewing of our minds. If we're going to renew our minds, something has to change. Something has to be renovated and take place. This word used for renew actually means a renewal of the mind to an original state. That's how that phrase is put together. It's not just a renovation. It's a renovation to an original state, because God designed us from the beginning. God had a plan for all of mankind from the beginning. Before the fall, it was not how it is now. We did not think how we think now. We did not have the thoughts that we have now, because in the beginning, when God created us, we didn't even know about evil. It wasn't even in our thoughts. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God didn't want us to eat from. There wasn't even in our minds. It's a renewal of our mind to an original state, to who we really are in Christ. So if we are to renew our minds, what does Scripture mean by our mind? Well, our mind is our intellect and our understanding. It's our will, our desire. It's our feelings and our emotions. That's what needs to change. That is our mind. So the word here, it actually indicates a literal change in the form or formulas of our thought or being. Like, this is a big word. This is a big thing. A lot of times we'll read scriptures like this and we'll think, oh yeah, I just got to start to think a little bit different. But this is so much more. This is so much deeper. It's an actual change in the formula we use to think, in the formula we use for our being. My study Bible gives us this breakdown, and it's actually confirmed in science. I would encourage you, if these sort of things interest you, if renewing your mind is something that you struggle with, I would encourage you to read some of Dr. Caroline Leaf or Dr. Henry Cloud. They're amazing established psychologists who are also Christians and use the Bible in their studies. But here's the breakdown of how the mind works with our thoughts. So our thoughts lead to formulating our purposes. And our purposes then dictate what our actions will be. And our actions then become our character and habits, and that's what shapes our life and our future. There's a lot there. I'll read that again. Our thoughts, they lead to the formula we use to determine our purposes. Those purposes then dictate what we do, what our actions are. And those actions then become our character and our habits. And that is what shapes our life and our future. This all begins with our thoughts. What we think, what we allow in our mind, what we decide, what we allow to formulate in our minds. And it then ends in our actions. So a lot of times we do something and we think that we don't even think about it, but we have. We've thought about it. We've formulated in our mind. We've allowed it to become a purpose, and then we've done it. This all begins with our thoughts, with our mind. What are we listening to? What are we influenced by? Who are we listening to? Who are we allowing to influence us? Because a lot of times, by the time it comes to our actions, it started with that thought. Our actions will never change if our thoughts don't. Because our actions come from our purposes. And our purposes come from the thoughts that we formulated. It starts in our mind. The Bible is amazing. I encourage you to read it for yourself. Because it's pretty hard to change your thinking. It's pretty hard to change your thoughts to match what the Bible says if we've never read our Bible. If we don't know what our Bible says. As we go through issues in life, it's important to know what the Bible tells us about those issues. Because if we're Christians and we're following Christ, then the Bible is truth. So if we're having thoughts or issues or things in our life, then we can go to the Bible to see if it's true or not. We're told to take all thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And how do we do that if we don't know what Christ has to say? So maybe there's other influences in your life that for a while have been telling you lies. I would encourage you that some of us who are a little older here would remember the Maury Povich show. And I would encourage you to take the lie detector test. I would encourage you, take the lie detector test to see if it's true. It would always be this show, and there would be a woman on there and a man and a baby, and it would always be a lie detector test. Or, are you the father? And it would be the lie detector says, you are not the father. You are the father. So take the lie detector test. If the thoughts in the world around you are saying that you are unwanted, your parents didn't want you or they don't want you, take the lie detector test and see what Psalm 139 in verses 13 and 16 have to say, that you're formed by God, that you are created beforehand in Him. The Bible tells you that you're His workmanship that we've talked about. That means you are His poem. You are His work of art. So if the world is telling you that you're unwanted, the lie detector determines that is a lie. Maybe the world around you is telling you that it's your body, you can do with it what you want. It doesn't matter, it's yours. Make your own decisions. The lie detector says that's a lie. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say that your body is God's temple. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, like we sang, lives inside of you. You are not your own. You were bought with a price, and it cost Jesus His life. Maybe the world around you saying that you're a nobody and you're unimportant. The lie detector says that that's a lie. Galatians 4 and 7 tells us that you are a son or a daughter of God in Christ Jesus. You are not only that, you're an heir of God's kingdom. Think of how amazing God's kingdom is, and you're an heir of all of it in Christ. Maybe you feel as if you have no friends. The lie detector says that that's a lie. John 15:15, Jesus Himself says, no longer do I call you slaves, but I, Jesus, have called you friends. Maybe you feel and the world around you tells you that you are defined by your past mistakes. A lie detector says that's a lie. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 tells us that in Christ, you're a new creation. Old things, they've passed away. They're no longer part of who you are. Maybe it says you have no purpose or no future. Well, Jeremiah 29:11 says that I know the plans I have for you, says God. They're plans for good and for hope and a future. Maybe you feel like you're stuck in shame or condemnation. Romans 8:1 tells us there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Maybe you feel like you have no power, no strength, no self-control. Well, 2 Timothy 1 and 7 tells us that we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and self-control, a sound mind. I urge you, I beseech you, see what the Bible says about who you are. We hear a lot about our true selves these days. Well, your true self is in Christ. Your true self is revealed in the Word of God. Know what the Bible says, and then when the world or someone or something tries to have you follow them, you can just take the lie detector. And if you feel like you're beating to your own drum, if you've decided in life that you don't follow anyone or anything, you're going to do your own thing. I'm my own person. It's true to a point, but the reality is that your views and your opinions and your actions, and even you saying that, it's all been done before. It's all been said before. Do we really think that we're that strong? Do we really think that we're that independent, that we do our own thing? I would dispute that. We're all shaped by someone or something. We all follow someone or something, like it or not. And so since that is true, I urge you, I beseech you, if you're going to follow something anyway, if you're going to follow someone anyway, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. No matter what you have need of, no matter your circumstances, that longing in your heart, that void that's within you, the answer is Jesus. And so you might ask, well, why Jesus? Why not some celebrity? Do you know how much money they have? Do you know the power that celebrities have? That politician, do you know how much sway they have in this world? That super cool kid at school, you know how much he could do for me? Well, here's what the Bible has to say about Jesus. I'm going to read it from the Message version. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 13, reads, and it says, God rescued us from dead-end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much. The Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. And then it says, starting in verse 15, we look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and we see God's original purpose in everything created. Now here's Jesus. For everything, absolutely everything, above, below, visible, invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence, and he holds it all together right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. It says he was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything and everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that was poured down from the cross. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds way better than some celebrity. He sounds way more powerful than that politician with all the sway. He sounds a whole lot better than the coolest kid in high school or any other option that I can ever think of. So I urge you, I beseech you, you're going to choose something. You're going to follow someone. Choose Jesus. It's as simple as you making a choice. It's not a choice I can make for you. Mom and dad can't make it for you. Your spouse can't make it for you. Grandma and grandpa can't make it for you. You are the one who's going to stand before God one day. You make the choice. I urge you, follow Jesus. And so I want to close this morning with our text. Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I want to read it from the Message version because this gives us a perfect outlay of, so we've chosen Jesus, we've made the choice, we're going to follow. What does this look like? What does this look like for us? Romans 12, 1 to 2, and the Message version reads like this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. If we're going to follow someone anyway, let's follow Jesus. So bless you. If you would like prayer this morning, we would love to pray with you. God is amazing. There's nothing too hard or impossible for him. If you don't need prayer, be blessed. And have an amazing week.